everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks. Oh, boy. It's live radio. We're hoping City Councilman Paul Cunningham will be walking in the studio any moment. He's supposed to be here in studio as we launch into our Wednesday, July 17th, 2024 edition of the Buckmaster Show. Coming to you from the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studios, part of the growing Bustos Media presence here in town, now with 5 radio stations under one roof. Our latest acquisition, the very popular station, The Drive, 101.7 FM. The Buckmaster Show live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Councilman, how are you today? Paul Cunningham with us on the live line.
Hey, Bill, how are you? Thanks for having me on. Sorry, I meant to be in studio today, but I got sidetracked on where I'm, what I'm doing today. I'm kind of putting out some fire. Sorry about that.
No problem. Just was getting a little concerned. All right. How was your trip overseas? Was this your first trip overseas?
Oh, yeah. It was not my first trip overseas, but it was one of the all-time, it was one of my all-time favorite trips I've ever taken. It was super special. I've been saving up for a long time for that trip. And, you know, my Nana she was Irish, and my father's father was half Irish. And so I've always wanted to visit Ireland. The other thing she had was she had a cloth print of the changing of the guard at Buckingham Palace. And she had it up in her kitchen. And every, you know, when I was a little kid, I'd see that cloth print, and I just wanted, it was one of the coolest things. I thought it was so neat. So there I was about a month ago now at the changing of the guard at Buckingham and going through the Tower of London and doing that piece. And then I went out to Scotland, and I went to the ancestral lands of Clan Cunningham, which was, I can't even tell you what a special opportunity it was. And it was one of the, it was just such a great, great thing to be a part of, Bill. And so we went to the Finlaystone Mansion, which is where the Cunningham Castle was in the 14th and 15th century in Scotland. And then we toured through Ireland. We went to the Ring of Killarney. I met the mayor of Killarney. We went to Dublin. We it was just something really special that I was able to enjoy with my family as part of my 50th birthday. And so I can't tell you how special it was.
What surprised you the most? You must have had some preconceptions. You've been looking at that image in your family home of that changing of the guard. What impressed you or surprised you the most when fantasy became reality for you?
Well, I mean, the Buckingham piece, one of the weird things with the Buckingham piece was that we're out at Buckingham and they do the changing of the guard, and there's the little stations of CNN and MSNBC and every single news station, Fox News, every single one of them have little stations set up around. No guards, no fanfare, people kind of just ignoring them. But for the most part, it was really neat. I just absorbed the moment. I'd say what also stood out to me was the trip through Ireland and how beautiful that country is and all the things that it's overcome. Ireland's a really special place. They're going through a really big economic boon. And really good, they're in a really good place both economically and developing. And so Ireland was just so special. I can't tell you how, just what a contrast it is to the United States as far as, and especially to Tucson, as far as if there's ever the opposite of the desert, it's Ireland.
Yeah.
So I love my Sonoran desert and I love my home, but it was a neat change of pace to go to someplace like that, that, you know, it's just green everywhere. You know, here we struggle for months and months just to have a decent soccer field. And there you just have to go outside and cut some grass because it's just growing there no matter what. So it was interesting, but it was special and wonderful. And the little phrases that people have and the language, so you're good. Do you want another egg then? And stuff like that. And how people talk. It was great. I recommend for everybody to go check out, you know, Europe and check out some of the things. Again, if I could afford to do it a couple times every a decade, I would, but this was more of a once in a lifetime trip. And I can't tell you how amazing and special it was to be a part of it.
Not only do we really are we challenged when it comes to green here in Tucson, although the Sonoran Desert is probably one of the greenest deserts in the world, we are challenged when it comes to trees. And that's what just makes me sick about this event that happened, this weather event that the National Weather Service says, as far as one of the people who'd been there for more than two decades, it was the worst monsoon storm to hit the Tucson Valley in his 20 years here. And just the number of trees down, Paul Cunningham, could be in the thousands.
Yeah, I mean, what's crazy is we didn't have microbursts very often, and now we've had two or three in the last 10 years since 2017. I think that's our fourth or fifth, like, true microburst. Some people said they felt that the tornado actually touched down for a few minutes. Look, I don't want to get into all that. What I'll tell you is that we really have to accept whether or not you want to fight about to call it climate change or global warming. I'm a global warming guy, but whatever. Whether you want to say that it's man-made or it's the cycle of the sun, whatever you want to tell me, you're still going to have to accept that there's some weather pattern shifts around the country. And what's causing that extreme weather, people can try to explain to you. Whether you choose to want to believe the truth or not is up to you. But the bottom line is we need to accept that there's some weather shifts and be prepared to address them.
There are major changes happening. There's no doubt about it. We had two 100-year, one in 100-year events last July up at our place in the Central Foothills where we lost a bunch of trees. Hopefully this particular storm missed us. But there's no question, Paul, for those of us who've been around a while, these storms are nothing like what I remember when I first came out here as a kid to go to the University of Arizona in the mid-60s. Those days, it would, like, set your clock by an afternoon thunderstorm. You know, it poured, yeah, but you didn't have these microbursts, as I recall, anyway.
Well, I mean, we had some extreme wind and stuff like that, but I agree. I don't remember microbursts. I think that there's some more pieces to that, Bill, and that is that while the median temperature's a little higher, the mean temperature's a little higher, but one of the weird things over the last 4 years, since 2020 when the fires kind of messed up our cycle, but since 2020, I think we've had a little higher than average rainfall over and over again. I think that this year's no exception. It just comes all in buckets at once. So we'll have to see what happens. I think we don't get the every afternoon for 25 minute storms.
Yeah.
We get a couple of those textbook monsoon storms, if you will, but we get a big windy gross storm every 3 days, it seems like.
So I know.
We'll see kind of how that works out. Hey, it's better than Phoenix. It has gotten like 0.2 inches of rain, and it's still 96 degrees in the morning right now. So I'll take living in Tucson for above anything. I think everybody knows that. And we're Tucsonans. We can adapt to weather. We're going to have to, and then we'll adapt to it. And
yeah,
I mean, at the end of the day, we still have a great and special place to live, and it's blessed that we get some rain in the summer because it definitely cools us down.
Yeah, the storms definitely are missing Phoenix. Part of that is because that heat island has just become so extreme. I want to talk about what you wrote on social media. You had a lot of response to this after the assassination attempt on Saturday afternoon of former President Donald Trump. Why don't you share with our listeners a bit of the reaction to that?
Well, I just spoke from the heart. Everybody seemed to me, all the electeds were making a response. I didn't want to stay silent. I didn't think that was a good, appropriate way to be a leader. I had an opportunity as a public servant just to express my concerns and at least relay to people that public servants and folks who stand for office are still human too. And so one of the things you have to do as a public service is that you can't lash out. You've got to be a little bit more measured. I'm obviously guilty of having a couple moments over the years that weren't perfect, but I try to be as even tempered as I can as far as public service goes. And at the same time, we'll have situations where we're in the positions where we're making decisions that affect multiple people at a time. And so sometimes that decision isn't going to be perfect for everybody. I can tell you that as a public servant who spent my life as a public servant, that every decision I make, I'm trying to keep the entire community in my thoughts on when I make that decision, and I'm doing the best I can to make the best decision possible. I know that sounds really blasé and whatever, but it's the truth. And so sometimes, and also people will call and say, well, why did you do that? Or why did you do this? And what were you thinking? And you want to explain it, and they either choose to listen or don't. And so I just wanted to tell people, at least in this situation, that you can disagree with the person at the top of their lungs. You can definitely not trust who they are as a person and their ability to lead. But at the end of the day, there's a certain line of dignity and respect that you have to treat all people with. And that's kind of what I was looking for. The other thing I also talked about in that post was we've kind of lost our way a little bit, where there's just the vision is just a little wider and wider than it used to be. I mean, look, are we ever going to get back to the days where Tip O'Neill and Jim Baker have lunch and breakfast like 3 times a week and make deal? I don't know. I don't think we're ever going to get back there. Are we ever going to get back to a contract with America where Newt Gingrich is in the Oval Office cutting a deal, even though they hate each other and they're trying to bring each other down? I hope we can get back there. But right now, the division is so wide, the two sides are not talking really at all. And that's not good. It's not good. I've tried to brand myself as someone in Tucson who will work with anybody, who will try to talk to anybody, and who will at least acknowledge folks' opinions. I mean, I have people who tell me, you know, how could you listen to the other side and what they believe in? It's so bad and awful. And I go, yeah, it might be. That may be true, but they're 35 to 40% of the population right now. Some of what they believe has to be taken into account. We have to do it. And people aren't going to listen to you unless you start listening to them. So that's kind of the message, is that we got to just start listening a little bit. I'm not telling everybody to switch their views. I'm not telling everybody, but I got some feedback that, well, you know, the other side's never going to agree to that from both sides. You know, oh, well, those people are horrible. They're never going to figure it out. Well, that's the whole attitude that got us to the situation we're in. So I'm just asking people to pause, maybe listen. And I'd say, you know, if you know somebody who you disagree with at the top of your lungs who happens to be related to you, maybe now's a good time to go have breakfast or break bread or share a drink or something. But at some point, we have to get to that point where we're listening to each other.
I agree. All right, Paul Cunningham, stick around. Segment two with you is coming up right after we take a break on the Buckmaster Show, midweek edition in the middle of July. We'll be right back. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan includes roadway, transit, pedestrian, bicycle, and many other transportation improvements across the region. Pima County voters approved the plan in 2006, and the RTA is finalizing a new 20-year plan for RTA board review and approval to seek public feedback on the draft plan. Sign up at rtanext.com for updates. Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
Quality of Life Research Center has conducted more than 100 clinical trials in Arizona over its 20-year history. Because of their success, participants may have access to a variety of treatments under study that may not be available to people outside the trial. And participants may receive compensation for study-related time and travel. If you think you'd like to participate in a clinical trial, please visit QLMC.com to view our open trials and express interest.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Bill Buckmaster with you in the driver's seat of our midweek edition here. Paul Cunningham is with us, Ward 2 Democrat. He is on our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Paul is a longtime educator, and normally this time of the summer, he would be frantically getting ready for the new semester, which begins in just a couple of weeks. But this year is different, isn't it, Paul Cunningham?
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to go back to teaching. I mean, there's a possibility I might teach like one or two periods a day to help out on where there's a teacher vacancy that hasn't been filled, something like that. But for the most part, I'm dedicating pretty much all of my time the city council. I also have one other minor called time commitment right now, which is a little bit more significant, and that is that I've been helping out my parents quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of the other thing that's taking me away from being a 70-hour-a-week public servant, but yeah, I'm there all the time. We're working on the office and possibly running just some micro business incubating type clients and possibly some nonprofits, which will also be revenue that would go into the ward office so that we can fund park projects and other things. We're also doing some work on some procurement reform within the city. When we refurbished our offices this past year, we learned some nuances in the procurement code that aren't necessarily protecting the taxpayers quite enough. And we think there's some opportunity to reform that. So that's what I'm up to right now. And I think it's going pretty well.
How about the Tucson Roadrunners? The decision was made that they would stay at least a year, but is there any, there's been some question about whether that hockey franchise, minor league hockey franchise, would stay in Tucson beyond 1 year. What is the latest thinking on that?
So I don't want to let the cat out of the bag.
Please do.
I'm pretty confident. I'm pretty confident they're going to stay 3 years.
Three.
But yeah, I think they're going to be around. I think that it's just kind of worked out that way. We've kind of lucked out. They like it here. It's a good family. They've built a fan base. And to have to go somewhere else and start over again, it's tough. So I think that the way that the lease has worked out and the way the discussions have gone, yes, they're guaranteed a year, but I think they have options for two or three. And I'm pretty sure they're going to stay at least for the 3 years, maybe even longer. There, you know, it could be only two. I think it's definitely more than just this one season. So those are my thoughts, but I don't have as much insight yet on really what they're thinking. I've only been briefed by the city team. I haven't had the opportunity to look at the new Roadrunners owner in the eye and get really assess what I think he's going to do. But for now, I feel confident. As soon as I get to a Roadrunner game this season, I try to go twice or two or three times a year to get a feel for where we're at. But right now, I think the lease is good, and I'm cautiously optimistic that we'll have this tenant in the TCC arena for the next 2 years.
Well, that would be good news. A judge has upheld the city of Tucson's authority to prohibit overhead transmission lines in city-designated corridors, perhaps dealing a blow to TEP's plan for a major new line through Midtown Tucson. What's the latest thinking on this?
Well, I've always advocated for undergrounding, and I've always said, you know, we got to meet with our utility franchisee to, you know, alleviate some of the costs. But the bottom line is that overhead lines don't help anything. Anyway. And we're finding that out with these microbursts. So I'm willing to pay, but it was very obvious in the franchise agreement last year that raising rates is not the way to a franchise. I'm at the point right now where now that the judge has done what he's done, I'm really frustrated because I keep being told over and over that we can't underground lines. And I keep finding out new things like, well, there's alternative to undergrounding that's a lot less expensive than just, you know, undergrounding a different portion of time. There's alternatives to undergrounding that can definitely give you the aesthetic view you're looking for. You can go from rooftop to rooftop and meet some of your needs. I mean, there's a bunch of different things you can do that can give you the appearance of undergrounding and code that they do in other cities and towns, and we've had constant resistance to it. So I'm pretty frustrated about that piece. What I'll tell you is that I'm starting to think about maybe it would be helpful in this franchisee agreement if they had a little competition. They do not have a non-compete clause in it, and maybe it's time that the city set up some type of municipal energy co-op, which kind of forced their hand a little bit, made them compete in a free market like every other business does. Because at this point, their franchise deal is a sweet deal. They have exclusive rights to providing power to 430,000 homes. Like, how would you like to have a business where you're guaranteed 430,000 people are going to have to pay you an average of about $200 a month?
Yeah.
Of course you're going to make money.
Of course.
So for me, I'm with no competition. That's like basically saying, hey, Walmart, hey, Kmart, hey, every other retail store in Tucson, from now on, you're all Targets and Target owns you. So we've got to look at it that way, and maybe we should set up a municipal solar or renewable energy co-op where we're providing energy to people that want to buy in and be owners of. And I think that may be an option we should explore. And all it would do, it would not under any circumstance alleviate what TEP already does. It would just give people an option, would give people a choice. And at first, it may cost more. But if we look 25, 35, 50 years ahead for what our community is looking for, which is underground renewable and reliable energy, which is renewable and reliable energy that is distributed through underground means. Well, why don't we, if they're going to refuse to build that, then why don't we build that? If that's what our community wants, why doesn't the city try to build that?
Why don't
we dare to be great?
When is that a franchise agreement has to be approved before 2027 or something?
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of, I'd call it ambiguity on why or not, on what happens if the franchise agreement fails. It definitely relinquishes some of the rate payer protections, but it also bolsters some of the rate payer rights. Because then one of the things that happens with CorpCom is that we have situations where people are generating off-grid power and they can't distribute it to other people. And that's partly tied to the franchise agreement, the way I understand it. So if it expires, that means people can generate their own power. It'll be kind of interesting to see what happens. You're really talking free market. So I think there's some ambiguity there. there's a whole bunch of safety and code pieces to it. You can't just, I mean, you're not going to be able to just buy a commercial property and start generating power to your neighbors. I mean, that's not what I'm saying. But it may kind of go that way. So I don't know. It's hard to say. I know that they want to get it back on. And I know that, to be fair to TEP, I think a lot of people that work there do a great job trying to integrate them with the community and try to be good partners to Tucson. But at the end of the day, they are owned by their shareholders, and they answer to their shareholders. They are not owned by the citizens of Tucson. And so no matter what happens, it's just structured that way. They're never going to have the actual community's needs better in mind because they're structured as a corporation supposed to make a profit. That's just how it is. And that's okay. Like, we can't fault that. You're allowed to make money in the market in this country. But at the end of the day, I think a better model is a municipal model.
All right. City Councilman Paul Cunningham, glad you're back safe and sound after really a great trip over to the British Isles. Thanks for being on the program, and we'll talk to you in August, okay?
Thank you, Bill. Have a great day.
Thanks a lot. Tucson City Councilman Paul Cunningham, Democrat, representing the 2nd Ward in the city of Tucson on the council. All right, we're coming up on the CBS Network News, which we'll be joining here in a momentarily. Then we have Mayor Honey of Marana will be on our live line right after this.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rialto River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
Are you ready to immerse yourself in a diverse culture while wandering through bustling markets, sampling exotic cuisines, or forging connections with people from all walks of life? Well, Bon Voyage Travel is here to plan your perfect journey. Whether you're setting off on a solo expedition, embarking on a group adventure, or simply dreaming of far-off destinations, we can help create your custom experience. The road ahead is filled with endless possibilities. Visit bvtravel.com to find your specialized Bon Voyage Travel advisor today.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios, Green Things 3384 East River Road. Right by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park Green Things. They didn't get off the bus yesterday, the folks over there. They have been in town for 53 years, and they are open daily. Their 13-acre site looks so good. Jan and Jack, hands-on owners, and it really shows. Their sister business is Zocalo Village. The website is zocalovillage.com. All that wonderful imported pottery, the Talavera pottery from Mexico, second to none, largest collection of it, I believe, in Arizona. And Green Things AZ is the website, so check it out. A lot of people got really hammered by that storm that roared through the Northwest, and so some folks' gardens, to say the least, with that ping-pong-size hail, looking kind of stressed, to say the least, after the big storm. When we do our telephone interviews, our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management, we're going to go now on the live line to the town of Marana. And from what I understand, the longest serving elected official in Pima County, Mayor Ed Honey, third generation of a five-generation Marana family. He served on the council for three different occasions, totaling 37 years. Worked for the U.S. Postal Service in Marana as a contractor for 29 years before retiring in 2007. He's a member of the Pima Association of Governments, including a past chair, and he's a member of the Regional Transportation Authority, the RTA. He was the chair last year in 2023. Mayor Honey, now on our live line. Mayor, how are you?
I am doing well, Bill. I said, reading the resume, if you're old enough and been around long enough, you've been on a lot of boards.
Yeah, the resume grows a little bit, doesn't it, as we age. And I do want to thank you for your service, because you were part of the United States Navy Seabees during the Vietnam War, and you're a lifetime member of the VFW post 5990 in Marana. So you are standing for re-election as mayor. You are unopposed, and you're talking about the big issue. I read this in the Tucson Agenda, actually, today. Had a nice piece about your city elections upcoming there in Marana. You said that the big issue is infrastructure.
Infrastructure is everybody's big deal, Bill. And I mean, I'm not talking about just roads, but it could be parks or drainage or potable water or wastewater. If you're a fast-growing community like Marana, infrastructure can be quite expensive and a lot of times hard to get accomplished.
What's the footprint of Marana right now? How large are you?
We're about half the size of the city. We're about 126 square miles, and I think they're about 260 or something, so about half the size of the city of Tucson.
What is fueling this explosive growth, Mayor Honey?
I just think a lot of our growth, people are bailing out of California and a few other states, Illinois and places like crazy. About half of our new housing permits are sold to people leaving California.
Hmm. So you're getting a lot of new folks coming over from the coast. It seems like there's kind of what's developed there in Marana, sort of two places. The town, which the older town, the town kind of I remember when I first came out here in the 1960s, and the town you kind of grew up on. And then there's kind of the new area. Is that kind of how you look at it?
Well, it's not that way anymore, Bill. I live in the older part of town.
Yeah.
And there's a huge housing project 100 yards out my back door. I mean, the fastest growing place in Marana really is old Marana, North Marana right now. We have several major neighborhoods that are moving forward. And the Gladden Farms neighborhood is just going crazy. But we've been averaging about 110 new housing starts a month.
Wow. Can you handle that kind of growth?
Yeah, we can. I mean, we've got water and wastewater infrastructure and roads in for most of that stuff. What happens is you end up having to spend a lot of money on roads. One of the bigger issues in Marana right now is I-10 interchanges. I mean, we have Twin Peaks and Ina that are fairly new, but we're looking at Cortero and looking at possibly going over the freeway there. But that's a $200 million project. And, you know, there's a lot of complications. That's one of our biggest business districts. And if you shut the freeway interchange down for a couple years, it's not conducive to good business.
Well, of course, transportation is a huge issue, and you're very much involved with the plan. Hopefully, there'll be a plan to craft the next 20 years with the RTA Next plan. Give our listeners an update. Is anything new there?
We're really kind of at a standstill right now. You know, and I want the RTA Next plan to move forward, but if I was a betting guy, I would say right now it's about a 50-50 chance.
Let's dig a little deeper into this. Why is it a 50-50 chance? What are the stumbling blocks, Mayor Honey?
Well, a lot of this stuff, and I'm the only one left that was actually involved when the RTA started, you know, and dealing with Bob Walkup and Chuck Huckleberry and different people. RTA is Regional Transportation Authority. And what that generally means is we want to do big roadway projects that support the region. And, you know, to be honest with you, the city and Marana and Sarita and Oral Valley are kind of on one side and the city's on the other with what projects we want to do. You know, Marana is large enough now that we could do really our couple of RTA projects on our own. And, you know, we want to be regional and we want to work with the region, but we're kind of having differing ideas of what regional is right now.
What do you see as the kind of drop-dead timeline on this, Mayor? You say 50-50 odds. The clock's certainly ticking. What's the timeline look for you right now on this?
Well, the RTA 1 runs out in June of 26, you know, which is not that far off, a year and 11 months. And, you know, we need to get something done to get something to the voters really by 25. I think if we may have a year or less to come to an agreement to put it on the ballot. And I'll tell you why. Even if we agree on whatever we want to do and when it's going to be done, we've still got to have hundreds of meetings with citizens all through Pima County explaining what we want to do. One of the biggest issues right now is that the city wants to spend all the primary money on transit. And to be honest with you, Sarita, Marana, and Oral Valley don't benefit very much from transit. We're just too big and too spread out. If you tell everybody they got to take the bus or they've got to take the train, if it's 10 miles to get to the bus line, you know, you still got to drive your car to even get in the bus to go anywhere. So, we support transit in the inner city. But the last polling I saw, even the major part of the city doesn't support spending as much money on transit. The city wants $600 million for transit out of the $2.4 billion. And they're bringing forth a rapid transit that they want to run up Stone Avenue to the mall. And that would take two lanes off of Stone because they want to run it dedicated transit lanes. And that really makes it hard to move traffic around. And I don't think that many people will ride it. If you look at the existing transit in Tucson, there's not that many people on the buses or the train.
Well, we got two different lifestyles, it looks like, here, right, Mayor Honey? We got the folks in your area, and then we got Tucson envisioning really a totally different narrative here.
Yeah, I believe that that may be true. Like I said, I'm not against spending any money on transit, but I think the primarily, if you look at Pima County and how big it is, and, you know, 64,000 people in Marana, about 50 in Oral Valley, you know, about 37 or 8 in Sarita. And a lot of those people work in the city or the urban part of the county.
Mm-hmm.
And transit doesn't work for them because it just doesn't go where they are.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
And they may be 10 or 15 or 20 miles. What's happening in Marana now is a lot of the businesses in Marana. A lot of the expansions of businesses, Sargent Controls, F.L. Smith, Krebs, Coca-Cola, so many of those big businesses are in Marana now and are expanding in Marana. So a lot of our people don't need to go into the city to work so much anymore.
And you see that trend certainly continuing, I guess, with more people working closer to home.
Well, I can tell you, I live in far north Marana, about 5 miles from the county line. And Sargent Controls just bought 20 acres virtually across the street from me, which is a cotton field right now. And they're going to bring about 275 employees. They're going to expand. But they're going to have about 275 employees out here. Well, that's 275 families that could live out here in North Marana and don't have that far to go to work. And so what we're starting to see is a lot of income-based stuff is moving out this way.
All right, let's continue our conversation, Mayor. We're going to keep you around for a second segment, if you don't mind. We'll take a break right here and stay on the line. We'll be back with you here shortly. It's the Buckmaster Show, the midweek edition. We'll be right back with Mayor Ed Honey.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com.
At Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We're also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
Pima Association of Governments, the Greater Tucson Region's metropolitan planning organization, is developing a new long-range transportation plan for the next 30 years. Shape your transportation future and tell us your transportation project and funding priorities. Take the survey at pagregion.com/2055. That's pagregion.com/2055. The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Quality of Life Medical Center has served Tucson residents for more than 20 years. We understand the key to a long, healthy life is not just about getting the right medical treatment, but it's also about feeling good mentally and emotionally. Whether you're looking for preventative care or treatment for a specific condition, we're here for you. And we are accepting new patients for primary care, pain management, and sexual health. Please visit QLMC.com to request an appointment. Quality of Life. Our name says it all.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. We are in the Green Thing, Zocalo Village Studio. We send a lot of our listeners over to Silver City, especially this time of year. When you hear me talk about Silver City, I will be talking about it's cooler. It's about 10 to 15 degrees cooler over there. It's 91 degrees midday in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Looking at the forecast, Sunday, the high's only 80, about 80, 81. Can't beat that. This would be a great weekend to take the three-hour drive east of Tucson. It's not a bad drive at all. You hit the freeway, I-10 East, take a left at Lordsburg, which is kind of the first community as you head east into New Mexico, and take that exit up to Silver City and up to the high country, 5,000 to 7,000 feet elevation. Real nice up there. It's a pretty little area, pretty nice town, to say the least. Southwest New Mexico, spellitout.org, O-R-G, for more information before you make the drive over there. We continue now with our conversation with the mayor of the town of Marana. He's been involved with the city council on three different occasions, totaling 37 years. He is standing unopposed for his next four-year term as mayor. And during our first segment with the mayor said now the chances, in his opinion, of the RTA next program are at about 50-50, which leads me to say, Mayor Honey, that I think you there's got to be somehow to make this thing work, some kind of a compromise. Would you agree with my thinking there?
I would, Bill. But, you know, there's many different interpretations of what compromise is.
That's for sure.
And I'm not saying I don't want RTA to move forward. I really do. But if the, you know, a huge amount of the money is going to transit and some things that I and the members of my town council don't support, you have to realize if I support that and the citizens of the town of Marana are taxed at a half cent for the next 20 years, you know, I have to have benefit for my community as well. That I want everybody to get benefits, and I want the majority of the benefit to go to the city. They're the largest entity.
But right now we're really having some issues in agreeing what those benefits should be.
Meanwhile, your town is going to be spending, let me see, what did I read here, $500 million on capital projects over the next few years. And a lot of that's going to transportation, correct?
That is correct. You know, we need a new interchange at Tangerine. If the RTA next goes through, Cortero and Tangerine interchanges would be part of it. But we're also looking at Moore Road for a brand new interchange, kind of like we did with Twin Peaks, where we just go build one where there wasn't one before. Those interchanges are quite expensive, and we're needing to widen some roads. An example is over Saguaro Bloom on the other side of the mountain from Continental Ranch. We're going to be doing that work this year, and it's about $35 million, widening that road to four lanes from Saguaro Bloom up over the mountain and making it all weather as well, and building wildlife linkages under it as well. You know, it's right there in the Tucson Mountains. But, you know, there's just a lot of projects need to be done.
We had a listener wonder why there's no library in the older part of Marana.
Well, there was. The libraries in Pima County are run by Pima County.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a sale or a property tax and everything else. There's the Wheeler Taft Abbott Library on Cortero there in Continental Ranch. And there was a library up here in North Marana, but the county shut it. Oh, man, it's been 5 years ago probably. And, you know, that's that. Like I said, we can ask them to open it. The building's still there,
huh?
But there's no library. You know, libraries have changed a lot. You know, when I was a kid, they were all books.
Yeah, me too.
Now most libraries are all computers. And you can go in and read books online and do a lot of stuff online. And the paperback book is kind of going the way of Blockbuster.
I hope
I
not.
Mean, I was trying to be a little bit funny, but it's kind of true, though.
I know, but I hope not. I'm old school. I still like a book. Yeah.
But, no, we're doing really well. We're thrilled. We're growing so fast. And, you know, we're doing, we're building a new community recreation aquatic center.
Yeah.
In North Marana, and it will open in March of next year. And it is really going great guns. It's going to have three full-size basketball courts inside. And I said that everybody may be playing pickleball on them by the time they're built. That seems to be the rage for everybody. You know, I said it used to be older people. Now it's everybody wants to play pickleball. So
I know. But Gonna have to wrap it up. Mayor, it's great spending a half hour with you. Thanks a lot. All the best to you.
To you as well, Bill. Have a good day.
Thanks a lot. Mayor Ed Honey with us on the Buckmaster Show. On behalf of the mayor and Tom, engineering and producing our program, Bill Buckmaster, wishing everyone well.